Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
And so to the last chapter of our Living the Good Life series. We've already had conversations around kindness, forgiveness, health, gratitude and creativity, and you'll find those podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au. Today, it's dreams, that longing to pursue something with all that we have. How do we identify if that something deserves all that we have? How do we get started on that something in the middle of our crazy busy lives? Darren Rouse was working three jobs to fund his dream of building an online empire, and he joins us on Open House this week. Darren, thank you for your time. Before we get to the how, let's explore the budding entrepreneur that was the young Darren at high school.
Oh, look, I love looking back on my life in the early days, but I guess right from the start for me, there was a bit of an entrepreneurial spirit in me. I was that kid who was always selling something to his neighbours or classmates. Yeah. I remember having a locker at high school which had stationery supplies for classmates who'd forgotten their pens and pencils and all kinds of stuff, so that was probably one of them. But I also was brought up in a family which had a real heart for people in need. My dad was a minister of a church, so we quite often had people coming to the front door who needed a place to stay or some food, or had people who'd been working overseas come through our house and telling us stories about what was going on in Ethiopia. I remember in 1985 being quite moved by some of the stuff that was going on there. So I also had sort of dreams of, I guess, doing something to make a difference. And then as I grew older, I also had dreams about being a photographer. Started doing a bit of photography and public speaking. I really enjoyed doing that. So I had quite diverse dreams. Kind of look back on all of those dreams that I've just mentioned, and they've all kind of come together later on. But there was probably a decade of confusion and being quite unsure about what to do with them all.
Now, like a great many of us, you discovered the power of the blog by accident, didn't you?
Yeah, it was 2002. I got an email from a mate. We were in the process of planting a church, and he knew that. And so he sent me this four-word email, check out this blog. I'd never heard the word blog before, so I clicked the link mainly to find out what a blog was. Yeah. And ended up on this blog of a guy living in Prague. And he was talking about what I was thinking about, and that was my first taste of a blog. And it was really probably about an hour later I started my first one, because I guess I really just was really curious about this medium that enabled a guy on the other side of the world to speak in such a personal way to me. There was certainly no intention at that point of it being any more than a hobby or a way to sort of sort out my thoughts and put them out there, but yeah, that email that he sent, four words, changed my life, quite literally.
What was your first blog about?
My first blog was called Living Room, and it was really a personal blog that covered everything from spirituality to the movies I was seeing to politics to, what I was doing on the weekend. I had quite a few overseas readers, so I was also touching on life in Australia, correcting some of those misconceptions that sometimes people think about Australia. So, yeah, it was quite a mixture of thoughts. It was in some ways a bit of an online diary.
When did blogging as a dream start to evolve? Because at this point you're just dabbling in something and enjoying the relationship that's starting to emerge out of your relationship with the readers. When did it morph into something much more potent than that for you?
Yeah, so I started in November 2002, and probably for that first year it was purely a hobby, that I had no real dream of it being anything more. And it was probably about a year after that I started my second blog, and it was going to be a photography blog in that I was going to share some of the photos I was taking on a trip overseas. And I also posted a little review of a camera that I was using on that particular blog, and went away on the trip, came home. No one had looked at any of the photos I'd painstakingly uploaded from dial-up internet in Morocco, and yet this little camera review that I'd written was ranking number one on Google for that camera name, and those entrepreneurial lights from my childhood began to go on, and I began to wonder what would happen if I had 10 or 100 reviews of cameras on there. And so I transitioned that blog into a photography blog where I did just that. I reviewed cameras and aggregated other people's reviews. And as that grew in popularity, I also began to experiment with, you know, trying to cover my costs because my server was beginning to cost me and I wanted to get it redesigned, and I was on dial-up internet, so had wanted to really break even with it, and very quickly discovered that I could not only break even, but it was becoming a part-time job.
Now, it was a gradual growth, though. It certainly wasn't stratospheric. We went from $1.40 a day in 2003, still having to work your day job, which was in a warehouse at that time.
Yeah, look, I was working three part-time jobs at that time. I certainly think there are times where you need to jump at your dreams, but for me, in those early days, it was certainly a gradual thing, and I was newly married and we were wanting to have a family, so I wanted to be responsible as well and not leave my family in the lurch. So, yeah, worked part-time jobs at things that I wasn't really passionate about so that I could continue to grow this thing that I thought maybe one day could become full-time.
What are you imagining life is going to be like when this really takes off?
I didn't really know, and to be honest, at that time, I think most people around me, as I told them of these little dreams that I had, thought I was a bit crazy and humoured me, I guess, in the early days. I didn't really know where it was going to end up, but I knew that there would be opportunity that would come.
Talk about the B5 media growth, because this is where there's a full head of steam in your engine and things go nuts.
Yeah, so B5 Media was basically, it was a collaboration of me and, at the time, two other bloggers. We'd never met one another, and we began to talk, you know, what could we do together? And we realised we had different skill sets. And, it was kind of weird to start a business with two guys that I'd never met. It was kind of strange. One was in Perth, one was in Canada, and we were soon joined by another person who was in Adelaide. And really, it was happening all around the world at this time, is people collaborating and realising that they could not only collaborate in a sort of a bartering type way, but there was actually potential for business there as well.
At that point, you also take on $2 million worth of venture capital?
Yeah, so we had a Canadian company who wanted to invest in that business. So, again, that was something that I'd never imagined that I would ever go down that path.
Is the top just blown off your head when that conversation happens?
Yeah, it was kind of an exciting but also a bit fearful. Basically, you're selling part of your business, and so that brings with it some cost and a little less control.
Yeah.
It was certainly an exciting thing to go down that path.
Okay, take us through to today and the dreams of that little boy to dominate the world by selling stationery from his locker at school. You dreamt early on of being a catalyst for change in the world.
Yep.
Are you living that dream out today?
Yeah, and one of the exciting opportunities that has come about a number of times now is to work with not-for-profits and to actually highlight some of the work that they're doing. As my audience has grown and I guess the authority and the trust that people put in me as readers grows, there's opportunity, I guess, to use that to make a difference. And so 2 years ago, I was approached by CBM to go to Tanzania and see one of the projects that they do there in Dar es Salaam, a disability hospital. And so I spent a week there blogging and tweeting and creating videos to tell the stories of some of the patients and staff in that particular hospital. And so that was a dream come true in many ways, to actually connect two worlds that I was quite passionate about, my blogs, but also issues of disability and poverty. That was really exciting to be able to share some of those stories.
Share with us some of your insights in the links, the relationship between faith and entrepreneurship. You come from a family with a real faith. You started out in life looking for that way to reach others in various ways, although at that time you had no idea exactly how that was going to happen, but it was always an underlying belief that this was the right thing to do. What are the other links between faith and entrepreneurship for you?
Yeah, I guess for me that was a real journey. I got to the end of high school and studied marketing and at the same time wanted to actually study theology as well, and kind of got to this point where I had to make a bit of a decision. Do I go down the marketing path or do I go down the theology path? And all the advice that I was given, or at least the advice that I heard, I kind of almost felt that people were saying, you know, God would want you to do theology. Why would God want you to be in business? And so I kind of gave away some of those sort of business streams for a while. Put that stuff on hold. But I guess the journey for me has been to realize that God created me as an entrepreneur and gave me some of the gifts that I've got for a reason, and that perhaps there's a way to, you know, allow those worlds to collide, if you want, a little bit. And so I guess this business journey for me has certainly been very much connected to faith as well. And, just wanting to, join God in his sort of creativity.
Darren, as we finish our time together, what's your perspective on living a good life? How do you know when you're living a good life personally?
I guess my mission is to help others to achieve their potential, and I certainly feel like I'm most alive when I'm doing that. And so for me, I guess living the good life is not so much about receiving, it's actually about giving, and in doing that you receive a lot more too. I'm not sure that that's the clearest definition of it, but for me it's certainly tied up with being outwardly focused, inclusive, and just focusing on other people as much as yourself.
And what of the power of dreams? Clearly they've been a success and a driving factor in everything you've done in your life to date, and it's by no means anywhere near the halfway mark. So what are you telling others who are grappling with dreams, either their appropriateness or the extent to which they should dedicate their entire lives to pursuing them?
Yeah, I think for me it's about... it's a juggling act in some ways, because sometimes the dreams we have are quite selfish, and sometimes they're actually I would say, God-inspired dreams. And so there's a bit of a discerning process there. For me, I'm very much about trying to work out what the balance is in that, and looking for God in those things, and then taking responsibility for those dreams and making them happen. I came across a great quote by a guy called John Shar a year or so ago, and he said, "The future's not someplace we're going. It's not just passively happening to us. It's something we're creating." And so there's this sense that once we've got a dream, and once we've kind of established that it's of God and it's a good dream, we need to actually take responsibility for that to happen and direct our lives in that direction, rather than just hope that one day it will arrive on our doorstep.
If you'd like to find out more about Darren's work online, then head to problogger.net.